I also wanted to share with you just briefly, very quickly, that the team has been meeting faithfully, your ministry team, and they have been working through several different things. First of all, they worked through the letter that you received, the letter from the team. Actually, we believe this is what the Lord would say to us. And so we read that. You have a copy of that. The other things that they've been working through are the Constitution and bylaws. There's a part of the group that's working through that, and they're about to be done with the Constitution and bylaws and going to be bringing that, presenting that in the weeks to come. Also, the team has been working through action plans that we're polishing, and we're going to be working on visuals as well as some text, some black and white that you can hold in your hand. This is what we are, our recommendations for the church as far as moving forward. There's going to be a couple of things happen, hopefully before the end of this month. If we can't get it done before then, the first week in March, we're going to be recommending to the church that we form a nominating committee and a search committee. So those things are coming. And I want you to be aware of that. I said that because I want you to be praying for your transition pastor team. This is the grind stage of it. And we are working through some of the nitty-gritty right now so that when we bring it to you, it's easily understood and you can see that it's been well thought out. And we want you to be successful as a church in your endeavors, as we believe God has led us. And so that is where we're at. I wanted you to know that because you haven't heard a lot from us. And one of the team members said tonight, we've not really given them a lot of reporting or anything like that. And I agree. We haven't said a whole lot, but that doesn't mean they've not been doing a lot. And so that's where we're at. And it's getting down to the brass tacks. We're trying to get this thing right before we bring it out and reveal where we've been headed and what we've been doing. And so with all of that said, I just want to be real brief. There's a little football game or something on. I'm sure some of y'all are wanting to get home and everything. No? Okay. Well, we'll just stay till about 9 o'clock then. Today, in today's world, you can just go back and just go back to the beginning on your on the program and just watch it from the beginning. Just don't check your phone to see the score and don't talk to your buddies. Just go home and act like it just started. Just go back to the beginning and watch it from the beginning, right? And it's just like you were there the whole time. But really, I do want to be brief. I want you to take your Bible to Acts chapter 12. And if there's one thing that we want to be, it's we want to be transparent. I also want to, I don't know if I'll ever get to preaching tonight because I'm so full of stuff that I want to say to you. There's been a lot of talk from several people about, Brother Joe, what if you just stayed on and were our pastor? Okay? There's been a lot of that talk. So I want to address the elephant in the room, okay? I'm praying that God will just give us all discernment as to what He wants us to do with that, okay? And honestly, I don't feel His leadership to stay on and be your pastor. I want you to know that. I'm just going to throw that out here, get it all out on the table. I don't feel the leadership from God to do that. That doesn't mean that God can't change that. Okay? So I'm not... What I want you to do is I want you to really begin to focus on who God wants you to have. Here's what I'm trying to say. You ever talk to that young boy or girl, and they're like, they're eat up with getting married, finding the mate. You ever talk to that? You know what I'm talking about, don't you? They're eat up with it. Am I ever going to find somebody to marry? I was 22 and thought I'd probably never find anybody to marry. 22. And here is what I tell young people, what I told myself finally whenever I got to that point. God spoke to me and he said, if you will just focus on me, if you'll be intimate with me, then I'll give you the desire of your heart. You know, that's what Psalms 37 says. It says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. I like what Junior Hill said, and some of us were at the evangelism conference. He said, if you delight in the delight, then it won't make you happy when you get it. You won't delight in it when you get it. But if you'll delight in the Lord, then when you get the desires, it will really give you joy. And so, man, that just makes so much sense to me. If I want the heart of God, if I love God so much that he is who I want, then what he gives me will be exactly what I want. Did I make sense? If he is what I want, if I'm delighting and I'm in love with him, then what I get is going to bring joy to me because it's what he wants me to have. Whatever he desires is what I'll desire. And so if you and I will just delight ourselves in the Lord, he will give us the desires of our heart, because the desires of our heart will be in connection with our God and what is in his heart. Having said that, there are some things that we've not yet addressed here at the church. There are some subjects that some of you want me to broach, okay? Here's what I want to do for us. I'm going to be your target. You're going to throw at me anything you want to throw at me. You're going to pitch at me anything you want to pitch. We're going to do this on Sunday night, the 25th. Okay? Unless God changes our heart about it. Sunday night, the 25th, is going to be you asking me the questions that you want answered. And I'm going to try to answer them. And if I can't, I will say, I don't know the answer to that, but I will find the answer. So here, I've heard a lot of talk, I've heard a lot of discussion, I've listened a lot to many of you, but if there's a question that's not been answered, you want it answered, I don't care what it is, you pitch it at me that night and I will do my best to answer it from the Word of God. And I'll show you where I stand and where I think what the Bible declares. So you come up with the best questions. And that's what you say, man, that's crazy. Yeah, it is. But that might help us to get where we want to be. As far as just letting people ask some of the toughest things that's on their heart. That's the only way to do it in my book. I can't address it all from this pulpit unless I know what's on your heart. And so I want to know what you're dealing with, and I'll try to help you by answering those questions from the Word of God. Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. I want to speak on the subject, the amazing power of prayer. I want to pray, and then I'm going to read down through about verse 11. And then we're going to see what God has to say from His Word. Father, help us tonight. Fill us. Speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. The amazing power of prayer. Now, about the time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. Because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended or arrested Peter, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squadrons of soldiers, 16 men, to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept prison. He was locked up tight. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly," and his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and bind on your sandals," and so he did. And he said unto him, "Cast your garment about you and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leads into the city, which opened to them of his own accord, and they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel, and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the Jew, of the people of the Jews." And let's just stop right there. This is a real powerful story. It reads almost like a novel. I mean, it's just intense. And it has its climax, and it really shows what God can do in the life of His people if they'll only pray. This describes the amazing power of prayer. Now, the church does not have buildings at this time. They're meeting in houses, people's homes. They don't have pews. They don't have sound systems. They probably don't have budgets. They are just meeting wherever they can find a place. But the one thing that they had was the power of God. They would get together and pray, and God would move. God, He shook prisons. He shook the room sometime where they were at. He would send angels to do things on behalf. And here is an example of what God did in the early church for a group of people that just got together in somebody's house and prayed. Here's what the Lord did for them. Now, Jeremiah 33:3 says this, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show you great and mighty things which you know not." See, what God has said throughout His Word is this: if my people will call upon me, I will answer them. In the psalmist, he talks about it often, how when he prays, God listens, God hears. You find that over and over again. God like perks His ears up whenever God's people begin to pray for things. And so, that is true of the story that we read tonight. Prayer was made for Peter without ceasing. Now, we might say, what about James, Brother Joe? He died. Were they not praying for James? I don't know. But I do know that when they prayed for Peter, God answered their prayer. Now, we can say this much, that when we pray according to the will of God. We're praying that God's will be done. And I believe that when we pray with His will in mind, our faith moves God to do great things on our behalf. And so it was God's will to answer their prayer and to release Peter from the shackles, from the prison, and out into the street to freedom. In verse 5, this is our jumping off point. I want to show you something in verse 5. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Have you studied the words without ceasing? I don't know what it says maybe in other translations, but I know what it says to us in the Greek. I understand what it says to us in the original text. It means steady stream. And that might be what your translation says. But I want to give us a visual of what that looks like. Without ceasing, steady stream means this person prayed, and then that person prayed, and then they prayed as a group, and then they might have split up and prayed, and then they came back together for corporate prayer, and the pastor or the leader of the little congregation prayed. And so they prayed all night long. Steady streams. Wave after wave of prayer went up to heaven, if you will. And God heard their prayer. And what did He do in response? The Bible said that first of all, He broke the chains that were on Simon Peter. It also said that the prayers sent an angel and it woke Peter up out of his sleep. And it also showed us that the prayers that the church prayed opened the prison doors so that Simon Peter could walk freely one ward after another ward and then out to the street free from his prison chains, free from the prison. Now, I want to ask you a couple questions. Do you still believe that God has the power to break chains? How many of you believe that Sequoia County and Salisaw has a lot of people in chains that live in it? Various kinds of chains. Can God still break those chains? Chains of drugs, sexual abuse, addiction to gambling or whatever it might be, pornography. How about just simply boiling it all down and saying, the chain of sin that's taking them down, 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 all the way. The devil would have them in hell someday. They are in chains. They are shackled. They are bound by sin. Can God still break that chain? You know what it takes? Steady stream of prayer by God's people. Wave after wave. Can God still wake people up? I mean, aren't there people asleep? Are there Christians who are sleeping? Paul would say this in Corinthians, that it's high time to awake out of sleep. Because Christians just going about lackadaisical, just status quo, mediocre, and they're in church, out of church, they're up one day, down one day, they're just not faithful, hooked up, they're not committed, they're not a force for the Lord, they're just, and we might even look at them and say, I'm not even sure they're saved. They need to be awakened out of sleep. I know I'm using a little liberty here with the text, but isn't that what God can do if we'll pray? He can wake people up, can't He? From their slumber. Didn't He wake you up? Could be that we need to be awakened even here tonight. Awakened to what God can do if we'll only call out to Him. You know, I read a report that most Baptist pastors pray less than 5 minutes a day. It doesn't say anything about deacons or church members. I'm not pointing a finger at them, but I am saying this. If Baptist preachers pray less than 5 minutes a day, our churches are in serious hurt, serious situation. Because we're not tapping into the resources of heaven that are readily available for us if we'll only pray. In Thessalonians it says, pray without ceasing. In Galatians, Ephesians, and the Philippians, Colossians, Paul emphasizes prayer. Let everything you do be bathed in prayer. Don't worry, but pray about everything. Prayer. It's emphasized in the book of James. It says that the faith, the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And the example is Elijah, who was praying that it wouldn't rain and then prayed that it would rain. He put his head between his knees and he bowed himself to the ground and he prayed. And 7 times he sent his servant to look for a rain cloud. And finally, the servant came back and said, I see one about the size of a man's hand. It's coming up out of the Mediterranean. And before they could get to Jezreel, it was so muddy that the chariot got stuck. And he said, Elijah was just like us. He was a man with our kind of passions, with our kind of... He was just like we are, but he was a righteous man who was fervent in his prayer life. What would happen if we got serious about praying to God on behalf of this city, on behalf of this church? What might happen? God might wake some people up that are asleep. And then, what about doors being opened? You saw the angel come and get Peter. He said, put on your shoes, son. Get your coat, man. We're getting out of here. And they went and the first door opened. Second one. They got to the one that led out to the street. Now, I've never been in prison. I've seen shows where that, you know, that door, that outside door opens up a little bit, just big enough for a man to get through, and they get out. Some of y'all might know what that looks like from the inside. I don't know. Peter did. They got to that last huge steel, that iron door, that was the last possible exit, the last line of defense between the world, the outside world, and those people who were stuck on the inside. And the Bible said that they got a battering ram and they busted the door open. That isn't what it said. No. They had a big hammer and they began to beat on the door and they busted it down. No, it doesn't say that. It said that it opened of its own accord. See, Walmart's got nothing on God. Those automatic doors, that was God's idea first. I mean, that door just swung wide open for Peter, and that angel probably didn't even need it to open. And he walked out onto the street. Can God open doors that nobody else can open? Yes or no? Absolutely. You know what? You know what made that happen, don't you? Steady stream of prayers. Wave after wave of prayer of God's people. That just influenced heaven. You know, God wasn't done with Simon Peter, was he? But he used that little group of Christians and he built their faith. And he showed them, if you'll just pray to me, this is what I'll do. This is what I can do. And I'm telling you, that strengthened their faith. Now, when he came, they at first didn't even believe he was there. I mean, they answered their prayers standing outside the gate and they won't even let him in. But don't you know when he got in there and he said, listen, this is what happened. They rejoiced. Faith began to well up inside of them and they trusted God for everything. What do we need to pray for that when God answers it, we say, there's nothing too hard for God? What is it? There's nothing too hard for God. In the beginning of this chapter, Herod is on the march. The pastor's head has been cut off of the Jerusalem church. Peter is in prison and God's people are huddled in a house praying, hoping that they're not next, believing that they won't be next, praying that God will do something miraculous so they're not next. And at the end of this chapter, the tyrant, Herod, worms eat him from the inside out. And he dies. I want to read that for you. I want you to see it. Right down here at verse 21. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them, as the people of Tyre and Sidon. And the people gave a shout. This is what they said. It's the voice of a God and not of a man. Boy, they were building him up, weren't they? It's God speaking to us. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory and he was eaten of worms and he died. I want you to notice this verse 24. But the word of God grew and multiplied. I'm going to ask you a question. Can God still do that? I mean, do you really believe God can still do that? Some people might say, well, Brother Joe, if we had a prayer meeting, wouldn't nobody come? Really? If we just had a prayer meeting, nobody would come. Then we need to have a serious look in our own hearts as to what are we really? Are we really just, that's what we got together for, was to pray. Not to talk. Not even to take prayer requests or to have a Bible. But we got together to get a hold of heaven. Would anybody show up? There's power in prayer if we will only pray. When I was in Nicaragua last year, I was talking to my interpreter. He's very fluent in English. And he's a very educated man. He had his finger on the pulse of the politics in Nicaragua. Nicaragua's closely tied to those other Central American countries, and they're well aware of what's going on in that part of the world, more so than we are, because those countries influence it a lot more than we get influenced by them or are influencers of them. And he said his president and Chavez, who was the president of Venezuela, were just like this. And also Fidel Castro. He said those men were so tight. And what happened was they took 50 young men 20 or 30 years ago, some of the best, the top quality of their men, and they sent them to Russia to get educated. And he said their president was one of those 50 men. And so you have this socialist, communist influence in those countries. He said that there was an anti-American type feeling, and it was vocalized by some people, especially Chavez, and not only America, but he said Chavez would like to have seen Israel wiped off of the face of the map. And he said because America was friendly with Israel, they might as well go along as well. And his president and Chavez, chummy as they were, they agreed, yes, that's the way it should be. One day, Chavez, a few years ago, stood up and he said, I hate Israel. And anybody who favors Israel, and every Jew, I hate with my guts. I wish they were gone. He said that disturbed his people, his Christian brothers and sisters in Nicaragua, because they didn't want to be associated with that kind of talk, and they knew the president of their country was so close to the Venezuelan president. And so they begin to pray, God, help us not to get sucked in. Help us not to get involved politically with this type of man any deeper than we are. And 1 year to the day, those Christians were praying and seeking God. 1 year to the day, Chavez died with stomach cancer. He hated the Jews with all of his guts. God has a way of sending a message, folks, to world powers, to leaders. If God's people will pray, God can move mountains. God can change political things. God can do, He can shut down businesses that need to be shut down if we will just pray. He can save people that need saving if we'll just pray. We've got to pray. I don't know if I told you this, and I'm going to end with this story. But Emily had been fasting and praying before the last election here in the United States. And I said, Emily, why aren't you eating? She says, well, I'm just praying for our country because we have got such a serious election. I think maybe she was more burdened about it than I was. We stayed up late, like everybody else, watching the results come in. And about 12:30, 1 o'clock, I think we shut off the TV. They said, it's going to be Hillary. Now, I don't know what you think about Hillary or not, but I don't like her. I couldn't see us as a country making it very much longer with her as the president. He said, Brother Joe, don't you get political on us. I'm just telling you the way it is. And so, Emily had gone to bed about 10 o'clock. Next morning, we got up and turned on the television and said, Donald Trump's won. What? How in the world? He's not my first choice, but he certainly was the best choice out of the two. And Emily said to me, she said, I knew it all along. I knew it all along. God had already given me peace about it. Day or two passed, and she still wasn't eating. I said, why aren't you eating? She said, I'm just taking some time to pray and thank God that it wasn't Hillary Clinton. Listen, all I'm trying to say is God can change things if we'll just pray. We'll just pray. Let's pray. The altar's open if you need to come get in it. Just asking Emily to go to the piano and play. Not going to sing. Just play, Emily, for just a few minutes. Lord, I probably said a lot more than I needed to tonight. But what I did say was, there is power in prayer. And you can do anything. You can do above, beyond what we could ask or think. So, Father, help us to be intentional in calling on your name and lifting up our needs. Getting a hold of you, Lord, and finding out what's on your heart. And asking you, Lord, to help us to get in on it. Praying for the sin-sick city and nation that we live in. We are in political chaos in many respects. We are in spiritual darkness. And we live in a counting where there's many, many lost souls that don't even think about eternity. God, help us to understand the need. And help me and each of us to live as though it's the last day. And to pray like everything depends on us praying. Jesus' name.